What difference does that make?
That makes no difference in my life right now.
Anyways, welcome to Hip and Humble. I'm Aram.
And I'm Mom.
And this is our show, and we talk about all things antiques and collectibles. And today, we are going to be talking about toys.
Yes, we are. We're continuing talking about toys. Yeah. Who doesn't love toys?
I don't know.
I don't either. Yeah. I think everybody loves toys of some sort.
I would think so.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. I feel like if you didn't play with toys when you were a kid, I feel like at some level you were deprived.
Well, yeah, and probably are not a very imaginative or creative individual.
Yeah, it's a good observation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get really started.
Gotta have
play. Oh, absolutely. Before we get really started, we want to thank our sponsors, Hip and Humble Antiques, LLC, with two locations. There's one in Bethany near Oklahoma City at Rink Gallery. And there is one in downtown Fredericksburg, Virginia, at Oldies But Goodies.
Right on the main street.
That's right. Right on Caroline Street.
Yep.
And for those of you that are not all about driving and aren't local, please go ahead and check out our Etsy store, Hip and Humble Antiques. And if we don't have anything that tickles your fancy at the moment, I guarantee we will soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just the nature of antiques.
Well, it sure is. It's all inventory is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's fun is that inventory is always changing, but it's always different.
Right.
So, you know, like regular stores and stuff, they might stock, you know, 10 t-shirts or 10 water bottles or something like that. Well, you know, we may have tea towels and they may be very nice embroidered ones. They may be quilted. They may be all different kinds.
Yeah.
So tablecloths, all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
It's always different.
And it's always coming and going, like we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we also want to thank the Going Solo Network. We really appreciate you guys putting us on. And for all of you that are listening through the Going Solo Network, we really love having you here and having you listen to us. And we're just so excited to have you here.
Absolutely.
All right. So, the history of toys, the timeline of toy invention.
I think I'd like to be a toy inventor.
You know, I think you could be.
I mean, you know, Legos, they have like people that have entire careers built around Legos.
Yeah.
I think that has to be like totally awesome.
That has to be the dream job of dream jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially
no, for
if you
sure.
like Legos.
Oh, absolutely.
And you have like an unlimited supply.
Yeah. And for those of you that grew up with Legos or Mega Bloks or either of those, they're not cheap.
No, they're not cheap.
They are not cheap. So
that is one thing you will probably never see in my shop is Legos.
We'll keep all those.
I keep all the Legos, all of them.
Yeah.
Because you know what? My mom did that with my brother's Legos.
Oh, yeah.
And it really was a blessing because when I had my kids came over and they played with all the Legos. But they were new Legos to them. But for my brother, they were like the 1988 Winter Olympics Legos.
Which still some of the coolest Legos I've ever played with. There was like a skier and he looked like the bindings and his legs were kind of very old style and he was more life size than regular Lego men. It was maybe like 2.5 inches tall rather than the 1 inch tall Lego men.
Well, and a lot of people collect just the Lego people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are really, I mean, they really are neat.
Yeah, they're really, really cool.
Yep. But I will not be getting rid of Legos. I have tons of Legos.
Yeah.
I have three sons, so I have a lot of Legos.
Yeah, and a lot of history in those Legos. A
lot of history in those Legos.
You know, at Iowa State University, they did a really cool study on the history of toys. And they did a timeline from 4000 BC all the way to 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently in 4000 BC, a Babylonian board game was the ancestor of chess and checkers, and that was one of the first games that they discovered in their timeline.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It is. It's kind of a mix of chess and checkers. There's a combination of jumping, and I think you can move certain pieces certain ways, so it really is a combination of the two.
It's kind of like, you know, lacrosse.
Right.
It's a combination of soccer and football.
Well,
and hockey.
And hockey, yeah.
Yeah.
They got
all three.
Yeah. That's like a trifecta.
It's a rough sport.
That is a rough sport. And that came from the Native Americans.
Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I bet that they played it with the pig's gallbladders.
Maybe so. Or the buffaloes.
Or the buffalo.
Buffalo right. bladders.
Could be buffalo batter yeah. or pig. We do not know.
No.
Any of you that are expert on bladder balls, feel free to say something.
Yeah, definitely. If you have a bladder ball knowledge, please let us know.
I'd be interested.
I am beyond interested, and I'd be interested in the person that has the bladder ball information.
I would too.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
I feel like that'd be a museum curator level knowledge of
probably so. Yeah. You know,
of historical
that,
materials.
That would be my dream job, museum curator.
Oh,
wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be amazing. Amazing.
But, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so many spy movies and everything that glorifies those positions. I mean, of course, you have the day-to-day, and I'm sure it's not always glamorous, but you
probably
still...
not.
But you get to be around some amazing things.
What was that one movie with the guys that spent the night in the museum?
Night at the Museum?
Night at the Museum. I don't remember all the stuff.
I know. It was just funny because...
They actually have that at the Smithsonian. They have like a little... display with Night of the Museum.
Yeah, because that's where it was filmed.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely cool.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller was great in that. Ben Stiller is the main character.
Well, DC, because that's around where we live, there's a lot of movies and stuff that's shot around here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see streets and things closed. Not nearly to the scale and level of New York City. I mean, they'll have streets closed all the time for different movie shootings and things like that, but
I got to say, my favorite one was when they did the Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
And we were actually going on our way to the airport because we were flying overseas to Scotland for my dad's 70th birthday. And Bumblebee was in front of us.
Yep.
Almost had to get out of the car and just go kiss it. I was like, I love Bumblebee. I think he is awesome.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yes.
I have three sons, remember.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Transformers, big part of my life.
Yeah. Transformers is interesting, and I think what was cool, the coolest thing that came out of Transformers were the toys. And the Transformers toys were actually incredibly, they are incredibly collectible.
Yeah.
Especially the ones from the 80s.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Although, tying it back into the timeline from the University of Iowa, that weren't exactly... brain busters as far as things that are toys to be used as brain busters.
What do you mean brain busters?
No, they weren't exactly challenging toys to play with.
Transformers?
Yeah.
No, well, you know, they could go both ways. Are they challenging toys to play with because you're using your imagination to transform a vehicle into some kind of hero fighter?
Yeah. But
what about
but,
all the mechanics of actually doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of physics.
But I feel like the imagination is stifled a little because you have a framework because of the show. Because you have
well,
kind of
you
a framework.
You can say that about anything.
Nah, you're right. Well, except for maybe backgammon and certain board games like that. Backgammon definitely requires a lot of thought. I mean, it's a very simple game, but it does require a lot of thought. Just like the, you know, chess and checkers. They're simple games, but
yeah.
It does require a lot of thinking.
True.
In 3000 BC, actually, in ancient Sumeria, was the first game that resembled backgammon. That was the first time it was ever played. Was in ancient Sumeria.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After that, the Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans played it for thousands of years. And what was interesting in Egypt is they used stone marbles instead of glass ones. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Guess you wouldn't lose them probably quite so easy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
You wouldn't smash them.
You wouldn't smash them. You might lose them more easily because there's more rocks than there is balls of glass hanging around.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, how they made glass back then is like a whole different podcast, but totally awesome.
Oh,
if you
oh
ever
my
want
gosh.
To look into the history of glass and how it was made back in... you know, whatever, 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, in the BCs, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is incredible. I mean, so my wife and I, we went to Italy, and I know this is a tangent, but it's worth noting. We went to Italy, and We went to Venice, and Venetian glass is world renowned, and all the glass that we saw there, even at the store in Italy, was very, very valuable, just because of how much craftsmanship, how much work goes into it. We saw him blow a vase, and it was incredible to watch him do it. They have a tour there at the Venetian Glass Blowing Company where you can watch them create a piece in front of you, and then you get to tour their museum and their showroom, and it is gorgeous.
Oh yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we went to Mexico, and I wasn't very old. I think my brother was still in the stroller, so I mean,
oh, wow.
You're talking late 70s. Anyway, we went and saw one of the glass blowing factories. I would loosely call it that, but because it's always stuck out in my mind, because like walking through there weren't any safety procedures or cautions. There's no tape saying don't get close or here's a flame. They just had fire coming out here and there, wherever.
Right.
And it was kind of up to you as the human being to not be where the fire is.
Right.
So, I don't know. I always remember that, because I'm like, holy crap, you could die pretty easy here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you never get away with that nowadays.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah, I think it's funny,
And I'm all for those safety procedures when it comes to glass blowing and fire.
Yeah, I guess. But it toughens you up. Makes you more aware of your surroundings at an earlier age. Because, I mean, realistically, the world's not a safe place.
Well, no.
And the earlier,
not yet.
the sooner you learn that, the better it's going to be.
It's true. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Even the world's not a safe place. I mean, well, as you guys know, I can hurt myself at home. I don't even have to go out in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be aware of where you are at and your surroundings at all times.
Apparently.
Yeah,
especially. Apparently that's not one of my strong suits.
Well, especially curbs.
Yeah, well, he's making a little slam on one of my arms is challenged because I stepped off a curb and fell and landed on my wrist.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yep. Dislocated the elbow, crushed radial head. No supination for any doctor folk out there. But anyway, they like to tease me now.
Well, yeah. Gotta laugh to get over it, huh?
Well, you do. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do?
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, the glass marbles, though, back to what we were talking about originally. The backgammon actually wasn't popularized in the U.S. until the 1800s. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I remember last week we actually talked about the first toys that were ever supposedly invented to become toys specifically. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they were?
Nope.
Kites.
And dolls and balls.
Yeah. Well, and the little ball in a cup.
Oh, ball in a cup.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you know, I wonder how close that backgammon and Mangala are.
So
that's an African game.
That is a good question. Yeah, that's not in this study, but that would be an interesting.
We'll have
thing
to explore that and get back to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I like I like backgammon too. I haven't played in 100 years, but I do like backgammon.
I like Mangala a lot.
I do like Mangala.
I've forgotten how to play, but it would take me about 2 seconds to remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's not hard to catch back on.
No.
Yeah.
No. I remember whenever we first learned how to play that, my younger brother, Kale, and I, we played that for hours.
Yep. Long time.
Long, long time.
Almost as good as Legos, but not quite.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the thing with games is, there's always a winner and a loser, and eventually somebody gets hurt.
That's true. That's true.
So eventually somebody gets upset.
This is true.
No.
No. Not that you need a game. You and your brothers find creative ways to compete, whether it's rational or not.
This is true.
Yep.
This is true. I think
they're all still living, by the way.
Yeah, just
and
barely.
And they have all their limbs and fingers and toes. So it's best I can hope for.
Although Kale definitely challenged that idea a couple times.
He did, but that's a whole nother show too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gotten some of the most interesting injuries.
Yep. That's for sure.
I swear he could get hurt flying a kite.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, You know, kites actually, in 1000 BC, appeared in China. That was the first time that they appeared, was around 1000 BC in China.
Was it for like one of their celebrations, like Year of the Dragon?
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
do a lot of that. That's
yes.
pretty cool.
Yeah. No, they've invented, there's so much technology and very interesting technology has come out of the Chinese celebrations.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've
got gunpowder.
Yeah, but you also got the floating lanterns.
Yes.
Those have been around a long time.
Long, long time. Although China wasn't the only culture to do that.
No.
No, the Vikings did that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you could also go from the, you know, it's a big stretch here, but from the floating lanterns with the heat all the way up to the hot air balloons.
Yeah, that is true.
You could do that. And then the hot air balloons eventually gave way to the first aircraft.
This is true.
So there you go. I don't know if that's actually a direct correlation, but it's one that I can draw.
Fair enough.
Nobody says I have to color inside those lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other first toys was yo-yos.
Love yo-yos.
Yo-yos are awesome. I remember, I haven't seen it in a long time, but there when I was first getting into yo-yos, they had professional yo-yoers.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I saw recently that there was still a couple around, and I've seen, you know, videos on TikTok and YouTube and all those of professional yo-yoers. And I mean, some of that stuff is insane that they do.
It is. Yeah. And I just, like, how many hours did it take you to do that?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. I have to be.
No, absolutely. Well, it's like any game or sport or hobby.
Would you call yo-yoing a sport?
That's a good question. I mean, you're exerting yourself physically. It is a performance. You know, there is style.
Yeah.
And, you know, to say that using a toy is not a sport is not wouldn't do justice to any other sport, because technically all the, you know, even football and soccer and the main sports, you're still, you know, you're playing with a ball. That's a toy.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would say,
I mean, I don't see it being added to the Olympics anytime soon.
No, not necessarily. However, I would consider it a sport. Yeah.
But the, you know, the gymnastic girls, they have the, I don't know what it is, where they do the little
the
stream.
The wand?
The stream, yeah.
The streamer, yeah.
The streamer and stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of yo-yo-esque.
Another
stretch for me.
A stretch. A big stretch. That was a big stretch, yeah. The other one I could...
String and it leaves the body and comes back.
I don't know. Because then you could say like poi and
poi.
Dart. Poi is you have two weighted balls on the end. You either light them on fire, or they can be lit up, or they can just be contacts, like rubber balls, and they're at the end of a string, and you wave them around your body in different patterns, and
kind of like nunchucks.
Kinda, and it's actually really cool, especially when you see them on fire. A lot of guys can do that. There,
I don't think that's going to be in the Olympics either.
Probably not, but it is really cool, and it's a lot of fun
I'm
to
sure
do.
It is.
Yeah, and
is
then
it a game?
It is not a game. I think it's
more of a artistic.
It's more of an art. Yeah, they refer to, it's referred to as a flow art.
A flow art.
Yes, because you're flowing.
Ah.
Yeah, your body is flowing.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yep.
But stone yo-yos were the first ones that were ever seen, and they were used in Greece. Yeah.
I could just see the mother of sons with stone yo-yos, and I am
getting hit
fairly convinced that they all had concussions at some point.
Well, I guarantee they did.
Yeah,
I mean, you hear so many stories about you know, people that were lame or slow or what have you in those times. Mom's putting the microphone closer to her face.
Yes. I'm sorry, folks, that I didn't have it close to my face.
Yeah.
My son has told me.
Well, you know, you just got to listen to it, and then you find out that you're not speaking as loud. And
okay.
That's all.
Anyway. I'm pretty sure that those mothers probably were beside themselves at some point.
Oh, I guarantee it. Well, you know, and they also had a lot more to worry about back then. Well, yeah.
There wasn't an ER.
There was not an ER. That's correct.
Where everyone knows your name if you're a rice boy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were on a first name basis with the ER people for a while.
Yep. Yeah. Although I had one doctor, because, you know, of course, anytime you go to the ER, they're, oh, child abuse. Which they need to, because there are tons of kids out there that are being abused. So those questions do need to be asked. They're very valid and stuff. But I asked her, I'm like, okay, you know, no, they actually do these things to themselves. I didn't have anything to do with it and all that. And she said, you know, I worry about kids when they get hurt, obviously. Said, but I worry more about the kids that don't get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not playing.
Yep.
So, you know, medical people feel that play is very essential too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's essential for growth and for learning and exploring and imagination. I mean, there's just endless benefits to going outside and experiencing the world with toys and your imagination.
Well, another thing with the yo-yos and a lot of these toys is hand-eye coordination.
Absolutely.
And how important is that for hunting and gathering?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. I mean, experiencing the way that our bodies were naturally move, and understanding, you know, how to control and manipulate our bodies is very important, and it helps you in every facet of life, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if you're sitting at an office job, you still understand the position your body needs to be in. You may elect for a standing desk, or at least you're going to have better posture. You're going to be able to type faster because you do have better hand-eye coordination.
Right.
But
I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept, though, with particularly with this yo-yo and hand-eye coordination. How this toy was specifically developed for play and whatnot, but also the added benefit of the hand-eye coordination when you have to go hunt your own food, or maybe it was even used as a weapon.
I know the dart that I was referring to, that is now more often than not used as what I would consider a flow art. It was a weapon originally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So is the boomerang.
Right. Right.
So.
Well, a boomerang is still a weapon. Still has been used as a weapon.
Yeah.
The Aborigines and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Hi, my name is Kaylin, and I'm the host of a new podcast called Tea Time Thoughts. Do you ever wish you could learn more about history, books, music, art, and culture, but you just don't know where to start? I totally feel your pain. Learning about all these things can be so overwhelming. Well, I want to change all of that for you. In my podcast, Tea Time Thoughts, I'll show you just how fun it all can be. In the time it takes to have a cup of tea, I'm going to teach you everything from the French Revolution to the Black Plague, Mozart to Broadway musicals, Da Vinci to Robert Frost, ancient Egypt to Queen Elizabeth II, and more. You can stream Tea Time Thoughts wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Put the kettle on and listen to Tea Time Thoughts today.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hip and Humble. We want to thank you guys for joining us. If you are just joining us and you're on the Going Solo Network, we want to thank you guys for being here. And we want you to know we're talking about antique toys today. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Hip and Humble Antiques LLC. If you're not, please follow us on Instagram at Hip and Humble. That's hipin.humble, HIPN.humble on Instagram. If you really like what we're doing and you want to hear these episodes before everyone else, go ahead and check out our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/hipandhumble. Become a monthly contributor and get all of the episodes earlier than everyone else.
Absolutely. Early bird gets the worm.
Absolutely. Well, we were talking before about yo-yos and their violent usages.
I was just theorizing.
Yes.
I do think that yo-yos probably were more of a mother's dread, because you knew something was going to break, whether it was your kid, a vase, the wall, something was going to break. So I don't think they're necessarily violent, but I do think that they caused a lot of damage.
Well, they say it's rumored that it was used as a weapon for hunting game or other land animals. It said the yo-yo is actually first made by the Duncan yo-yo demonstrators in the 1930s, at least the ones here in the U.S. And it's today considered a weapon because the Duncan brothers made up a rumor that it was a weapon.
Well,
that was done as a marketing strategy.
I think it would be called yellow journalism. That's a whole nother topic too, but an interesting one.
Absolutely so. And we talked about that before. We should probably think about incorporating that into a future episode.
Well, we might. Maybe when we talk about maybe newspapers or typesets.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very collectible.
Oh, typeset absolutely.
Drawers, all kinds of typewriters, all of that kind of stuff. But today we're still on my favorite topic of toys. One of my favorites. I have several favorites.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of toys, ice skates.
Ice skating also could be used as a weapon.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The first iron skates actually were used in Scandinavia.
The ice skates were iron before. I guess they would be iron. What are they made of today? Some kind of metal?
Steel.
Steel?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was in 200 AD.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a while.
Yep. Yep. And I'll never forget. We would go to ice skating rinks, of course, growing up, and there was one that used to be here in Fredericksburg. Well, it was in, I guess it's Culpeper. It's
ice skating rink?
Yeah, the ice skating rink.
Yeah. No, it was in Spotsylvania.
But it used to be an ice skating rink, and they had hockey games there all the time. And they ended up tearing it down and making it like a go-kart thing for a while.
Well, yeah, they got bought out by the go-kart people. And then the go-kart people got bought out by, I think it's Life Point Church.
Yep, it's a church now. Yep. But anyways, when it was an ice skating rink, it was a lot of fun. But there was always these little tiny, like 7 or 8 year olds that were...
zipping all over the place.
They were hockey players, and you could tell they'd been put in skates since they could walk.
Yeah,
and so they'd just zip in and out of people and just running around and it almost embarrassed you.
Well, that's like skiing. Skiing's kind of the same thing as when an adult learns to ski at an adult age. You know, it's a lot harder, and you see all these little 2 year olds out there with no poles, no nothing, just. Free and not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got no fear, too.
No fear.
Well, because they got rubber bones at that age.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. The rest of us that have fallen, no different.
I got knocked in the shin with a softball yesterday, about took me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not happy.
Yeah. Well, you're still young. You'll heal.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be fine.
You'll heal in this century.
Yeah. I decided, actually, I'm not going to get old.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just going to be.
Everybody says this. You're only old as what you think you are. Mm-hmm. But I will say that is tremendously true. So my mother, who just recently had a birthday and is in her 70s, she is just as young as anybody, as I ever remember her being.
Yeah.
I see other people that are in her age group and they're like, 1 foot in the grave and the other ones,
she's still zipping around doing hee-hawing and all around. Yep.
I mean, my mom and my girlfriend Angie both go and manage the booth there in Oklahoma City or Bethany, Oklahoma, all over the place. I mean, she's always going and doing and all this. And
yep. She's got all kinds of friend groups and
she doesn't look old though.
No.
But my grandmother, how old was she? Was
96,
97. One of them was 98, I think. One was 96. Anyway, when she passed, late 90s, she had told me she never really felt old until she was in her 90s. Hmm. And then she literally stood up and her femur broke. I mean, it's just brittle. And, you got a bone that's over 90 years old. It's probably not going to be all that strong after a while.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's really great. I mean, I never had the example of anybody just sitting on the sofa waiting to die.
No.
They're always out doing their thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, still being productive, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody that thinks that people who are older don't have anything to contribute to society are really missing out.
Absolutely. I mean, they are a fantastic wealth of knowledge and experience. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, especially in people like my Nana, you know, she's just full of energy, full of life. She's always ready and willing to talk and making friends and doing really cool things. And
oh, yeah.
And, you know, like a big key to that, too, is how active you stay and challenging your mind and doing different things and learning continuously.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And chess is one of those games that you can continually play as you know, no matter how old you are, and it will continue to challenge your brain and give you new neural pathways to invent different moves and different ideas. One of the ancestors of chess, actually, was an Indian game called Chaturanga.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it certainly is. Yeah, and playing cards, actually, in 969 AD, they began to be used in Asia. That was the first place where they had playing cards.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Who invented them, does it say?
It doesn't. No, they just said that the first ones that they've seen were in Asia around 969 AD.
See, I always wonder about how did that thing actually come to be? Well, I mean, were you just sitting around the table going, gosh, if I could have some little square cards with numbers and, you know, hearts and diamonds. And, oh, don't forget the king, queen, and the jester.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's just interesting. It would be interesting to see how that came about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many things like that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Scissors.
Yeah.
Where do scissors come from? Who made scissors?
Oysters. Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah, who was the first person to eat an oyster?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, oysters, we know where those came from.
Well, I know, but who was the first one that, you know, was walking along the beach and saw it and thought, gosh, you know, I think I'll just eat that?
That is a good question. And raw, too.
And what?
And raw, too.
What's raw?
Raw oysters.
Oh, yeah, raw.
Yeah.
raw oysters. Yeah, well, yeah. And people eat that. They do. Oysters.
Well, so the fish market in Seattle, the famous fish market, when I went to Seattle a little over 2 years ago now, they have this oyster cocktail sauce shot in a shot glass. And it's an oyster and it's cocktail sauce. And I shot it back. Ooh, that was delicious.
I'm allergic, so I'm never trying that. But no. It just doesn't sound good.
It is good.
And I always love it when you're allergic to something, like seafood. Like, oh my gosh, you don't know what you're missing. I'm like, wow, I think I do. I'm missing a trip to the ER.
You're missing my throat closing up.
Missing, you know, my breathing. I like breathing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I, you know, it's a trade-off, air or fish.
Yeah.
I think I'll breathe.
Yeah. Well, then you get a whole – what's funny about different allergies is the people that are lactose intolerant or the people who are essentially allergic to cheese and milk – are the only people that are allergic to anything that I know will actively
eat
the thing that they're allergic to.
Well, I think because it doesn't cause anaphylactic shock as much as it just gives you an upset tummy.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no,
ice cream gives me an upset tummy, but am I going to give it up? No, I'm not.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, well, ice cream can give anybody an upset tummy if they're roller skating all day.
That's true.
The first roller skates that would be found were in 1759.
Wow.
Yeah. And, back to chess real quick. In the 1400s, the first modern chess pieces were actually standardized.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, after that, in 1824, they had the first rubber balloons. Ancient people used to make balloons from animal intestines and other parts.
Gross.
Like the buffalo ball.
Like the buffalo bladders.
Yeah, everything's going back to those buffalo bladders.
You know what? You had to use every single part of an animal. If you killed the animal, you used the entire animal.
Absolutely.
I mean, even pigs, they make like head cheese out of their heads.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
not going to eat it.
Grind up the hooves and make stuff. And
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you did. I mean, and as you should.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. In the 1840s, like we talked about last week, was the first kind of the starting point of a lot of the star toys or a lot of the wondered toys, if you will.
Right.
It sparked the 1840s sparked that off because that's whenever the dolls began to be mass produced in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the 1800s, playgrounds were the first appeared in the U.S. cities. So that's an interesting thing to think about.
It really is.
Because before playgrounds, you know, you didn't have slides or swings or merry-go-rounds or...
Well, you probably... I mean, you had swings, definitely. I mean...
like tire swings or barn swings, things like that.
But, you know, playgrounds, I think that always symbolizes more formal play.
Yes, like because it's more of an event.
Square footage that you must play inside of and, you know, experience the slide and the, you know, swings and merry-go-round and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's funny because to me, when I think of it, I see it as almost limiting of creativity because as soon as you put everything in one place, I mean, yeah, you can be very inventive and there's, you know, there's different.
Well, yeah, you can be inventive. I mean, we had those old metal merry-go-rounds and those things were awesome.
They were amazing.
I mean, you had to like hold on for dear life when you got on those things. Of course, if it wasn't like 8,000 degrees because they were all metal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember getting on those merry-go-rounds and you could pour water on it and it would steam.
Yeah.
As soon as you pour water, because you pour water on it so you can sit down.
Yeah.
And you put water on your hand so you can grab onto the bar so you can hold it. Yeah,
hold
like,
on to it.
Hold on it for dear life. And then, but yeah.
There was one place in Oklahoma City, actually they're in Bethany, and I'm sure it's gone by now. I mean, I haven't been over there to check because I don't think about it.
You talking about the rocket ship one?
No, that's out by Tinker Air Force Base. This one was in Bethany and it was a maypole. And so you have these little things that you held with your hands that were on a chain and you would run around the pole and then it would eventually, you would lose your, you know, footing and you'd fly around the pole holding on to the little handles.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. But like I said, I mean, to me, once you put all of those play things in one place, you're kind of limiting play to that area in a way.
Well, you are. I mean, it's one of those things, if you were just introduced to a playground, it would be new and neat and something great to explore. If you've been to the playground 8,000 times, then, you know, you got to have to dream up a different way to explore.
Yeah, well, it's more about what you do at that point.
Right.
And who you do it with. Because if you have a good group of friends, you can play different games. Like, I remember we would go to the playground and play this game called Midnight, where you'd have one, it's kind of like sardines, where you have one person hiding and everyone else has to find him. But instead, you have one person with their eyes
closed.
Otherwise
called hide and seek.
No, it's the opposite of hide and seek, because in hide and seek, one person finds and everyone hides. Sardines is the opposite.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway, so in
seek and hide.
The eye roll was immense.
I hope you didn't damage your eyeballs.
I saw my brain.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Is it? It's still there then.
Barely.
I know.
No. But anyways, Midnight is where you walk around. So one person has their eyes closed and they walk around on the bottom of the playground and everyone else has to try to like walk around the tops of the playground without being seen or heard. Or not seen, but heard by the person. And yeah,
it's kind of like an advanced form of the lava game.
Kinda, but you have like an it person and that person.
I said an advanced form.
Yeah. Something like that.
Means it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda like.
I know what it. Yes, thank you. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Now.
No. Well, after the dolls and the playgrounds in the 1800s. In 1843, the Mansion of Happiness became the first board game that was actually sold in the U.S.
Mansion of Happiness? Is that like life?
It's kind of like that. Like life? Yeah. It's a very primitive game. I've actually never seen one.
No.
Yeah.
Mansion of Happiness.
Mm-hmm. In the 1860s, the first bicycle came out.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody knows.
The first, like, affordable mode of transportation.
Yeah. Besides horseback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or walking.
Yeah. Walking is definitely the most affordable form of transportation.
Well, but it's also probably harder on your body than riding a bike.
Or a horse.
Or a horse, yeah.
Yeah. Although riding a horse is strenuous.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, sure.
For sure. especially long distances or at large or high speeds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
In 1886, a BB gun. The BB gun is a descendant of the cap gun, which was invented soon after the Civil War when some shotgun manufacturers converted their factories to make toys.
And we've got some cap guns at the downtown Fredericksburg shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that people collect them now. So I don't even know if they sell cap guns anymore. They may not with all the, you know,
well,
we don't like gun thing.
Well, not only that, but they have little bits of gunpowder in them.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's sawdust.
Is it sawdust? Well, no, it has to have something to spark.
Yeah, sawdust. Like snappers?
Yeah.
That's sawdust.
Oh, yeah, that's
And you
true.
Throw them on the ground, it goes pop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because it's the rocks spark the sawdust.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we do have some down at the downtown Fredericksburg store, cap guns. But I have a lot of people that come, and kids,
mm-hmm.
they come in looking for cap guns.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we've got not just us, but there's several vendors that have cap guns in the downtown Fredericksburg shop, and some of them are pretty expensive. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, well, especially depending on the manufacturer and when they were
the
made
age and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they can actually, you know, and how many were made and how many are left, because that's the other thing with the cap gun toys and a lot of toys is they become more desirable because there's not as many. Because mm-hmm. they were toys.
Right.
They were supposed to be played with.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, if you shoot a little cap gun 8 million times, at some point, cap guns won't give out.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, I mean, a lot of them were metal, and they did last a long time.
Yeah.
Although the cap guns in the early 90s and some of the cap guns that we got, by that time, they were plastic, and they didn't last as long.
No.
But, but you know, the cap guns from back then, they did last a while, but yeah.
Well,
whenever you give a cap gun to a four-year-old's going to break it.
Yeah. Well, that's when you kind of graduate up to Nerf guns.
Nerf guns, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you want something that actually shoots at the other person instead
that's
of
true.
Just makes a noise.
And you won't get hurt.
Yeah.
Or at least not hurt badly.
Yeah, yeah, more of that one.
Yeah, that was like my big rule every day was there are no weapons allowed at the dinner table.
Yeah, we had to put our guns down.
Your brother
it was almost like a saloon. We had to check our guns before we could go eat.
That's right. That's right. You want to eat, put your weapon down.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we are out of time.
Out of time, really.
Out of time.
Okay.
But we've been having fun, and we love you guys listening to us and tuning in and spending this time with us.
Absolutely. I really enjoy it. I think it's fun. Toys are great.
No, they're
That's
fantastic.
A great topic.
And it's they're such an integral part of a culture and history.
There is. And as a lot of people know, I collect marbles. I have a lot of marbles. But I also collect marble games.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of a whole fun thing to talk about, too. There's a lot of 10 marble games,
mm-hmm.
that is marbles games that are made out of 10, that are precursors to our pinball machine, skee ball machine, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're definitely very, very cool items. And I guess some we might talk about coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyways, guys, thanks again for spending this time with us. We love you.
Absolutely. We had a great time.
Oh, yeah. We have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Stay hip.
And humble.
All right. Bye.
Bye.